Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got a girl who got ghosted over Snapchat, another girl who wants to date a coworker, and a dude trying to make the first move during the first year of college. Check it out, enjoy, share with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how it works here, baby. You listen to the podcast. You tell your friends. You go back and listen again, and we keep putting them out. The circle of life. We have ads on here. You can go help our sponsors and help us via the sponsors. And that's how this whole thing works. I bend over with my nuts out of the back of my legs and you feather them up. And then I feather your nuts with the sweet sounds of Papa JT, the Wizard of Oz, the Prince of Promos. That's right. Every Tuesday and Friday, I come to you singing with your emails, your stories, your questions. And it means a lot. I'm out seeing this great country of ours. I'm doing this Snapchat show. Go watch. If you're, don't do the thing. Here's what everyone does. I'll be like, yeah, I got a show on Snapchat. It's called How Low Will You Go? It's the fastest, most fun 5-minute video that you're ever going to watch. They told me. The people from Snapchat, we have the analytics. We got the lytics, baby. People are watching. If they watch, they finish it. It's got like a 77% retention rate. You know how hard that is in this day and age for a 5-minute video? You ever shown someone a video and they just turn off midway through?
I mean, even my stories, the drop off by the end is precipitous.
Yes, precipitous.
Yeah.
That's the truth. You see people just, you can watch the little picture and the, you know, of who's watching drop off.
It's like 300 to 7.
7. So this video, these How Low Will You Go episodes are quite literally crushing it. So get involved every Tuesday from the school that I just visited. I was at Ole Miss. I wrote a little, I do these things on my Instagram, at Jared Fried, where I do a little review. I love doing the plane, I call it plane thoughts because I'm usually on the plane coming home. And the reason I love doing it is because I don't give a fuck. This is the thing. Everybody lives in this world right now where everyone thinks they care too much about the things they say. We all say shit. We don't care what we're fucking talking about. I don't care. I don't go to old. That's right. That's right. I don't give a shit. I don't come to your school and go, I hope this school sucks. I come to your school to go, I hope this is the most fun fucking place on earth. I hope it is Thunderdome. I hope, yeah, penises flying everywhere, guns going off. I want to come to your school and I want to be so blown away that I literally cum my pants. I want, give me the cum my pants experience. That's what I'm talking about. Because I go to these schools and so I do these write-ups and the Notre Dame people weren't happy, Shelby. They weren't happy to hear that their school is, you know, and also a lot of these reviews come down to, you know, just the timing of when I'm going. Texas A&M, what a beautiful time I had at Texas A&M. Because they're not great yet, so they don't think they're great.
In Notre Dame, it's synonymous with colleges.
That is the college, that is the, Tony Kornheiser always calls it the University of College Football in America. That's America's college football team from a certain era. So it's like you're going to a museum.
It's not Rudy anymore.
Well, that's the problem, is that follow the money at all turns. Always follow the money. Because now college football is such a moneymaker that these other schools were like, well, we better fucking have the best football team. So Notre Dame, you're now competing with way more people in this market. So Texas A&M, which I found out, someone told me, like, I'm hearing half information, but that Texas A&M has like the largest donorship right now because the team's in vogue. They want to win. They need to win.
I think they were like, yeah, the most valuable, even though they're, you think Alabama with the titles, but it's A&M.
No, but this is the thing. You need motivation.
Yeah.
So the Texas A&M people, they're motivated to win, but they also don't sit there and tell you how great they are. They're like, we party. The girls there are cute. It's a nice scene there. Then you go to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the fucking South. This was like, I'm as Northeast, I guess, as it gets. Like, I have Midwest in me. My mom's from the Midwest. So, like, I've been going to the Midwest my whole life. But at the same time, like, I'm a Northeast guy. It is mind-blowing when you go to Oxford from Mississippi. Like, the buildings look, in Back to the Future, where they go back to they go back to 1950, whatever fuck they go to. And you're like, oh, it looks like a movie set. It almost looks too pristine. Like, it looks like the houses all look like it's the 50s. That's kind of how Oxford looks. You're like, oh, my God, I'm in a movie about the South. It looks like a movie set. And then people are, I'm kind of referencing the thing I wrote for my plane thoughts, but it is a family reunion, generational. And then you go to the Grove on Saturday. The Grove is where they do all the tailgating, and it's 10 acres, and the 10 acres are just filled with tents. And every tent is some family's living room moved out to the Grove. TV, huge spread. It kind of felt like you were at your friend's graduation party that went off the rails.
I was going to say, it's the Connecticut of colleges.
It feels very Connecticut. Yeah, it does. It kind of felt like, let me bring in our guest, because I think he'll have something to say about this. Very excited. A return guest, an OKP, original key player, Chris Scopo.
Thanks,
thank you for coming
buddy.
On.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. All of you, so funny. You guys are going to love him if you don't already. At Chris Scopo on Twitter and Instagram. At Chris Scopo on Twitter and Instagram. You've been to some college football games.
Honestly, I've been to one big one.
Which one did you go to?
Penn State. Because I went to a small D1 school, and we were not good.
Where'd you go?
Sacred Heart University.
Sacred Heart. That's in Jersey?
Fairfield, Connecticut.
Fairfield, Connecticut. Close. Okay.
Bridgeport, though. So we weren't like Connecticut. We were in the ghetto.
The rough part.
Yeah.
See, I went to Penn State. And that's why I think a lot of people are like, well, you're comparing it. No. I come into these schools, and I go, let me see, give me the goods.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're better than Penn State. I thought, Penn State, I think I'm going to be the hardest on, because I'm going there for Penn State, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably be the hardest on them because...
You know what's happened back in the past. Well, let's see if it changed a little bit.
This is the issue with any, bigger, stronger, faster. I went there. Yeah. So I try to avoid that. I used to hate that. That's why I think a lot of fraternities get in trouble, is because... They go, well, when I pledged, it was this, and that.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that was because it was you. It always rains harder when you're in the rain. It's not always, when you're inside, you're going, well, I had it harder back in my day.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be hard on Penn State, but I'm interested to see what's happened since I've been gone. But Ole Miss, the thing about Penn State and the reason I thought Ole Miss is probably the best college football tailgate I've ever seen is because... the largeness of it and the organization.
Was it the tailgate or the craziness? So you got to go with the crazy factor of kids.
See, crazy factor wasn't... here's where it becomes nuanced.
That's why it's Connecticut, because
It's put together. It definitely wasn't the craziest. When we went to Alabama, Penn State played against Alabama. We went to Alabama. And it looked like Rocky Horror Picture Show, because it was like the Penn State people looked like all the cross dressers.
Yeah.
And then like the Alabama just looked like, the dads. And we were just like dancing, us playing like house music while they're playing like, Country Road. So it definitely wasn't the craziest. It was the biggest, most functional tailgate I've ever seen. Because again, you have that family factor where... it's a whole family coming together, and the mom is in charge of your food.
I was talking to a girl one time, and she went to Ole Miss, and she goes, come down for Ole Miss party. Everyone goes.
All
the alumni had to go back on Saturday.
Everyone goes, and that's the thing. You'd look at these tents, and you'd look in the tent. There's Mama Bear, Papa Bear, Grandmama, Grandpapa.
I think that slows it down, though. If you're a kid, you're like, I can't get fucking crazy in front of my mom.
It changes the dynamic, because now you have... the dad talking to the son. They're both fucked up, and they're both trying to keep it together for each other. Not saying it doesn't get crazy. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying there were certain tents that you were like, this is the tent. Like, the fucking producer on the show, he did a fucking, you know, head in the bucket and then chugged a beer. Like, he got into it. So, like, I do know that there's craziness, but it's just not... It wasn't like, oh, my God, the school might burn down today.
Yeah.
It was, oh, my God... Mom's getting wasted.
Okay.
But on a scale that was unbelievable to me. I mean, it was just hot as hell, humid. So Ole Miss, fantastic school. Definitely the biggest, most organized tailgate I've ever seen. You know what it felt like for the New York City listeners? The Hunt. Have you ever been to The Hunt? It's called The Race at Far Hill. So there's this horse race that's every fall in New Jersey, and it's called The Hunt, and you can buy... rent out a lot with your friends or with a family, and the lot will be catered, and you can get levels of the lot. So your lot is like a, you know, 8 foot by 20 foot, you know, whatever the size of it is. And you get like, let's say you get like 500 square feet in your lot. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to someone, they'll be like, hey, we want, you know, we want the Steno cups. We want the burners with the, you know, chicken fingers. And you can get levels, or you can be like, oh, I just want the chips.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of what it reminded me of, that injected with 1,000 pounds of fucking cocaine.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
So I
just went to Belmont Steaks with my Queens trash friends. We didn't even bring any food. You know, just beer.
See, this is the thing. This is the thing. Like, my buddy used to be like, Penn State could be a tailgate at Penn State could be 10 dudes surrounding a case of beer. And I was like, yeah, that is Penn State tailgate could be. That could never exist at Ole Miss.
No, you would
be laughed away. And that was the thing. I think if you're a 22-year-old person listening to 20, if you're 25 and below and your team plays Ole Miss, just get there. Get there however you can. Get the $250 flight to Memphis. Then get a rental car. Do it with your buddies. You'll figure it out.
There's a lot of food there. They grill and stuff?
No grills.
No grills,
no
really.
Grills. So it's just these tables that are... That's why it reminded me of like a graduation party. Just tables with a lot of like Walmart platters.
Okay, because I was going to say, I think that the mom and the dads would be like, oh, we're going to grill.
No.
We're going to sober up a little bit.
They're like... The mom and dads are like Friday. They're cooking up stuff to bring with them for the next week.
Okay.
So, or for the next day. So that's what so you have to be prepared. So if you're 25 and above, you're not going to have the energy the 25 and below people have. 25 and below, go. You have to go to Ole Miss. Texas A&M, I wouldn't run there, but I think I had a fabulous time. Notre Dame, don't fucking go.
Wow. Notre Dame has that Catholic presence about it still. It's like, oh, we're proper.
Well,
ooh.
You know, Notre Dame just has a lot going bad. I don't see it. It's not a destination anymore. They don't have a good relationship with South Bend, apparently. So there's no real area. What you want when you go, like if I was planning a bachelor party and I went to Penn State, was playing Ole Miss, that's where I'd do the bachelor party.
Okay.
Like, because girls are there, the festivities that are going on are there, the game. I would get tickets. I wouldn't even get tickets to the game. I'd go to the bar during the game. And 25 and below, you can... hustle that. You can be like, you can put on a funny face and talk your way into a tent and believe in yourself enough. 25 and above, and you're with a group of people, you want to sit.
I want a chair.
What I would need if I'm 25 and above and I was to do a bachelor party at Ole Miss where my team is playing.
Yeah.
Your team has to be playing them. I'm there with no team, and at least I have a reason.
You're there for work, basically.
Yeah, but I can always say, I'm here with Snapchat. I'm here with, whatever. So they, 25 and above, I think this is a great idea. There should be people at colleges renting themselves out as party Sherpas. So like you...
like just Van Wilders?
Yes. So I'm saying, like, if I was at Ole Miss and I was an entrepreneurial whatever...
Stay there a couple of years?
Every Saturday, I would be like, okay, I will set up a tent... like an Airbnb for the tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
So you could like hire me to get your tent ready. Because the tent, since there's 10 acres, which sounds like a lot to anyone listening, but that means the space is commoditized because there's only a certain amount. So Friday night, people set up their tents and pay other people to set up their tents. I would be like, hey, if you got 10 dudes, I'll make you look like an Ole Miss fan.
Okay.
You know, like,
I'll set it up properly.
I'll set it up properly. I'll get you in the middle of it. I'll have you at a good spot. It would, and you know, with anything, this kind of ruins, you know, how great of a place Ole Miss is, because now you get like random fucking Boston guys showing up and being like, what up? Fuck your place.
You're
like,
going to monetize it. You're going to monetize it.
Yeah, we're going to monetize it. I'm sitting there looking at it like, how do I create the business?
That's why you're always going to be good, Jared. Yeah, you're looking at it, you're like, I can make money out of this. I know what I'm doing.
I can figure out the business around it is to like, because I went to the store, I got some Ole Miss hat, I'm wearing it now. It's
everyone gets an Ole Miss hat with the $200.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, we'll have this food. You can upsell. You'll be like, oh, if you want the chicken fingers, you got to go up this much. If you want hot food versus cold food, and the thing is, what you want to do when you go to these college destinations, if you're not a fan of one of the teams, you just want to blend in to be a part of the fun, and that's kind of what I go and doing. And I got to say, I loved Ole Miss this week. Oregon, here we come, baby.
The Ducks.
Mm. So I'm excited about Oregon.
I want to know how, because like the North, this side of the country, I think parties a certain way.
Sure.
I don't know how the left side parties, the West Coast. Are they, are they more weed?
That's the most East Coast thing.
Yeah, I'm like,
how does the left side of the country do it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited. I've been to Oregon before. I did a live podcast from there.
Okay.
And we weren't allowed to release it because they were like, from a fraternity. And they were just like, thanks
crazy?
For coming. We had a blast. It was great. But then I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what a football game day looks like. I think it'll be fun. And
who
we'll
are they playing?
The Stanford.
Oh, that's going to be a good game.
So it'll be a good game. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Pac-10.
So I'm excited. I'm also going to be at Laughs in Seattle. If you're listening right now, we're doing shows around these Snapchat dates. I'm going to be at Laughs in Seattle the 23rd, the night of the 23rd, 7 o'clock show. Come on out. I'm also going to be at Hilarities in Cleveland on the 30th after the Penn State game. And then we start really rolling. I'm going to be in Newport, Rhode Island with the Rogue Island Comedy Festival on Thursday, October 4th, and then Miami the 5th, and then Chicago the 7th through 10th. So come on out. These shows have been fun. I'm usually pretty fucking exhausted, and we have a good time. Chris?
As I say, you're the Joe Rogan of college football games.
That's right.
You just go there, party, you have to do a show.
And then
before.
Do a show. Yeah. This is the whole thing we're doing. So
hopefully Oregon makes you cream those jeans.
I mean, I'm hoping for a jean cream experience. That's the JCE is what I'm looking for. Jean cream experience. Chris Scopo, at Chris Scopo on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow, go support. You do a show. We had Alex Pavone on this show recently. He was a great guest.
Did he promote the tour at all?
He promoted the podcast. You guys have a podcast called Sweet Buddies.
Sweet Buddies. It's the three of us. Me, Alex Pavone, Mike Albanese. We all live together in a, you know, I would say shitty apartment in Astoria.
I've been to the apartment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the best. We needed to film something. You need a shitty apartment. Yeah. And I was like, I got one for you.
We found it. We looked at it. We go, this is perfect.
This is good. Yeah. So, yeah, we it's like we're brothers, basically, living in a house together because we argue about everything.
Okay.
Well, Alex, me and Pavone argue about everything because we're just two sports fanatics who like to gamble. So we just argue constantly about stuff. Mike is like the guy, it's like, ooh, let's do musicals, and we call him gay.
Okay,
that's it.
Perfect. Sounds like a great dynamic. Yeah. So Sweet Buddies, it comes out what day of the
every
week?
Every Thursday.
So every Thursday, go check out Sweet Buddies with Chris Scopo, Alex Pavone, and Mike Albanese. And you guys are going on a tour.
Yes, we start at the Red Clay Comedy Festival.
Red Clay Comedy Festival. And now, are you guys doing live podcasts or just stand-up?
No, we're just doing stand-up. This is just the tour. We're going to
Sweet Buddies, it's all your friends.
Yeah,
from the Sweet Buddies podcast, we'll be performing live at the Red Clay Comedy.
The Red Clay is where we start. That's a festival, so we're only going to do like, it's like shorter sets, 10, 15 minute sets. Then when we start going on the tour, we're doing each doing half hours every night.
Okay. So where are you going?
We got Aurora Theater.
A theater. How big is this podcast?
Buddy, I'm telling you, it's huge.
It's huge. I had no idea.
It's a huge podcast.
Oh my God. Okay.
Watch out. It's coming for
you. Okay. Aurora where? Aurora.
Georgia.
Aurora, Georgia.
Lawrenceville, Georgia. Asheville, North Carolina.
I've heard that's a very crunchy spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the Cal Berkeley of the East, right?
I don't know what Cal
Okay,
Berkeley
you,
is.
I should have figured. You called it the left side of the country.
I went to fucking Sacred Heart with 5,000 kids.
Okay, so Asheville, North Carolina, and then where?
If the Dead Crow Comedy Club is still around, then we're doing Dead Crow.
If the storm didn't take it out, we're going to Dead
Crow. Dead Crow. We got Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Jayville, Jacksonville.
Richmond, Virginia.
Where?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, the Spiders.
The Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. Cattlesburg Brewery. Then we come back. Then after that, we come back to the Northeast. We got Helium, Fairfield Comedy Club, Philly Comedy Club, and AC.
So you guys are driving this whole thing?
We're driving Atlanta. We go to all around Nashville, North Carolina, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Then we're coming back up here.
You guys got to be doing podcasts from the
car. Oh, we're doing podcasts.
Yeah. That's a great. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Last year they went on a tour together and I couldn't.
Okay.
So now all three of us are going to go.
How do you feel about calling it a tour? What do we think about this?
Buddy, this is what they told me.
This is what they told me.
This is what they told me to do. I booked one show for this thing.
You and Metallica are both touring. Don't you feel a little ridiculous?
I didn't want to say it's a tour. I was going to say it's an adventure.
An adventure. I like that better.
Because
you don't have a tour manager.
No. The manager's Albanese.
It's not. So
they say it's a
tour.
I
hear all these things. Sometimes you see someone that, like, you know, this is very inside comedy, but sometimes you'll see someone post on Instagram, "We're going on tour." And you're like, dude, what? You posted this from Dunkin' Donuts. Yes. Your tour.
It's like, really? Aerosmith has a tour.
Yeah, Aerosmith has a tour.
They're going to Europe.
Yeah. You're going
to
in
fucking
a car.
Asheville, North Carolina.
You're going to be in a fart-filled car for 3 weeks.
I mean, we do have an SUV. So,
okay.
I mean.
So, okay. But, I mean, it'll be fun. It sounds like a blast.
Oh, I mean, yeah. We're going to.
And you guys are all hilarious and everyone. Here's the thing. You don't know, you know, I had this girl. I mean, this is. How much time are we into this
deep.
Podcast?
This is deep.
He took a long 23 minutes in.
23 minutes in. I'll tell a quick story. But I mean, let me just help. If you're hearing this being like, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina right now. Chris, I don't know who he is. You're going to go. This is a fun night. Tickets, what are they?
Like $10.
$10, okay? To have a night that's different than the night you would have done anyway. Mm-hmm. So go to sweetbuddiespod.com. That has all the dates there. And
all
you can
the
buy
dates
tickets.
There.
So sweetbuddiespod.com.
Not saying you can't get after it after the show. Like, come
this
to
the
show.
Come to the
get
show.
After
this is a big fun
take
thing.
Take us out.
But take us out. Buy me drinks. Yeah. Buy a ticket. Then
hang
buy
out
drink.
With us. We don't know what's going
but
on.
But I always tell people, like, tonight I'm going to be at Pink's, and that's Mehran Kagani's show, which I've promoted here on the show. Mm-hmm. And I've had people message me over DM or Twitter being like, I went to the Pink show. And I go, that's so cool to me because I used to work, you know, selling life insurance and like I would do the same things every week. I'd, you know, go to work all week, go to my, you know, then the weekend come, watch a football game, pass out at 6 p.m., maybe fuck, maybe not, goodbye, back to work. And it's like these are things that are different and fun that if you're listening here, you can bring a friend and go, I know this thing. Mm-hmm. Now you know something someone else doesn't. In the world of the internet, where the great depressing part is that we're all very much alike, this is a way to say, hey, I got a fun thing to bring you to. So go to sweetbuddiespod.com, check out all the dates, at Chris Scoble. Let's get to the emails. But in reference to that, I was in Mississippi.
Okay.
Girl comes up to me off the street. I'm walking around with the producers of the show and the director, and we're all, you know, we're going to get dinner. Girl comes up to me. She goes, are you the guy from Betches?
Ooh.
And I go, I am. And she goes, oh, my God. And she was so nice and sweet. And I go, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? And I always do the same thing. And this isn't.
You got to do what's your name. You got to act
what's your name?
Like, I'm Chris.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I mean, you're nice enough to. And I understand that that is a vulnerable moment where you feel like, ah, I look this way. I see you on Instagram story. Like, it's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, what's your name? Nice to meet you. Thank you so much. I'm happy you're enjoying the stuff. And that's a nice interaction. She's with this friend. The friend has no idea who I am, which can I tell the people listening? That's okay.
Yeah.
More people don't know me than know me.
Oh, of course.
So,
what are you, Kevin Hart out here?
Yeah, I'm nobody. Okay. So, but the other girl goes, I don't know who you are. And I go, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the girl. The girl's still like kind of freaking out. She was like, no, it's so we got to take a picture together. And the friend, she's going to give her friend the camera. And the friend will not even take the camera. She's going, I don't know.
Oh, just a bitch.
And I'm fighting with the friend while talking to the girl who likes me, like who enjoys my stuff. So I'm going, thank you, thank you. And I go, what, you can't know somebody? It's okay. It's okay. Let your friend enjoy this moment. Let me enjoy this moment. I'm like yelling at the friend.
You should be like, I don't know you.
Well, she kept looking at me going, well, this is weird. And I'm going, it's not weird. You don't know me. She knows me. Different story. And then I'm looking at her going, thank you so much. And she goes, well, I don't know. And I go, haven't, she goes, well, sorry, I don't know you. I go, it's okay. You shouldn't know me. It's nice that your friend does. Mm-hmm. And now I look like a fucking insane person
because
I'm fighting with one while being nice to the other. And I'm like, just have an interaction.
You got that Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. You're
fucking
like, fuck
nuts.
You, but you're nice. Yeah. I like you as a person. Yeah.
It's not like it was like you're from some crazy, like, oh, this is the guy who has the Guinness record for juggling the most. It's like, no, he's just a comedian.
She turned to her and goes, she goes, you know, he's like on Betch's Instagram stories. And it was as if she was speaking Chinese to this girl. The girl was going, well, what's a Betch's? And it's like, you don't know shit. It's so sometimes you don't know and it's fine. You're out. She's in. And it's like people, everyone can't believe that they're out. You're out, bitch. JTrain podcast at gmail.com.
That got to you a little bit. That
I'm
was,
annoyed that because her face is tattooed to my soul. Because I'm looking at the other girl going, wow, this is so nice. I'm
everything that girl did for you and how great it was just ruined by
ruined.
That girl.
I go, in my mind, I'm going, look at this. 8 years ago, I started with a dream. Kid, I'm from Needham, Massachusetts. I come to Oxford, Mississippi, the middle of nowhere, and a girl has a connection with me that goes, I've laughed at your stuff before. I've enjoyed, and I'm going, wow, my heart is like totally warmed. And then this fucking bitch, I don't know you. And it's like, well, let us have our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the outside. Let's do the emails. JTrainPodcast at gmail.com. We got some great emails today. JTrainPodcast at gmail.com. Do we want to announce our winner before we go to the emails?
We should do that.
Let's do that. We all did right. A contest, the Feather My Nuts special, we'll call it. And basically, we wanted to get us up the rank. Did we get a lot of comments on?
We got a ton of them.
Oh, really? It worked? So we wanted to see, we wanted to get more people commenting on the Apple iTunes page. So to do that, we said, write your most descriptive Feather My Nuts thing, comment on the JTrain podcast page, and then we will reward the winner with a feather hat to represent Feather Nation. Shelby, we'll read the winner's. You read the winner's. Should we put some background music on this or something?
It's a little short one.
Okay, so this is, never mind. The winner. And whoever the winner is, DM me letting me know you're the winner and we'll get you sent this hat. So go, Shelby.
The 5-star review by Timmy A.
Timmy A.
JTrain Podcast is the best podcast online. Jared Fried keeps it real, honest, and genuine. Big fan of his podcast and I would recommend it to everyone. JTrain, JTrain, JTrain.
That was the winner?
Yeah, I was going to say, that was kind of weak.
I thought there was a whole, we're going to describe Feathering My Nuts. We wanted a whole thing.
I think that was the best one.
That was the best. For real?
Wait, so Feathering My Nuts is just complimenting you?
Yeah. It was. Oh. I guess. I thought there was going to be like a big, you know,
I
what
it was
type of feather, where I was, how naked I was, what my balls looked like.
I thought it was just like you like talk about feathering your own nuts and like describing it or something like that.
I talk about what I've done in the past is I talk about how good it feels that someone recommends the podcast or DMs me or tweets me with them listening. And I go and I describe how it feels like we're out in a dewy meadow and I'm completely naked and they're just taking a feather and grazing.
Oh, so you just want compliments, you narcissist?
Well, no, what I wanted was their description of how the podcast feathers their nuts. And maybe they could. I was giving them creative liberty. Mm-hmm.
Timmy A, not
so
that creative.
Timmy A, I guess, you know, you win. Timmy A, message me on Instagram once you hear this, and we'll get you your hat, even though, whatever. Let's do some emails. At Chris Scopo here, sweetbuddiespod.com to see them on tour.
My art adventure. Let's do that.
On your adventure.
Adventure.
I don't mean to call you out.
No, it's honestly, it wasn't a tour.
It's a tour. Fine.
It's quick. It's easy.
That's like what it's like being a fitness model on Instagram. Softcore porn.
Yeah.
You know.
I go to the gym 3 times a week. I know what I'm doing.
There you go. Hey, how should I fuck date my coworker? This is a female email.
All right.
I'm 27, single, and have been working for a tech company in a major Canadian city for the last 3 years. Oh, and I have a huge crush on my coworker. Background, he works in sales, of course.
Mm-hmm. He's selling that pussy to you.
He's got that dick salesman. I worked in a closely related department where we would occasionally run into each other. Now I've recently moved to another department and don't have any excuse to really speak with him besides the lady boner I'm trying to conceal. Since it's a tech company, we have regular social outings and trips. Everyone is pretty young at the company. I'm friends with some of the women on this team, so we've been in the same place socially before, but never really had a chance to had any specific conversation of our own, except for once at a baseball game where we bonded over an adorable dog and our legs touched. Gasp. If a dude wrote that, he would be thrown into prison. Our legs, she writes our legs touch, and we're like, isn't that sweet?
It's meant to be.
If I wrote, and my leg touched her. Yeah, crowd goes horrible.
Oh, Jared, what are you doing?
Ah, gross!
Your hairy leg?
Lock him up! Lock him up! He randomly started following me about 2 months ago on Instagram and always watches my story. This is a good sign. We've shared some casual hellos and lingering glances since then when I stopped by his floor to say hello to my friends. So my question is twofold. One, does watching someone's Instagram stories mean anything more than he has too much time while he's sitting on the toilet taking a dump? Two, is there any way for me to make a move here and or should I even bother? I know he's single but recently broke up with a girlfriend of numerous years that he was living with, plus we work together. I go back and forth with this all the time, going from emotionally jerking it to the thought of our potential engagement and then talking myself out of sliding into his DMs. Would love your thoughts and advice on where to go from here. Mr. Scopo.
Well, I think you just said he got out of a relationship of long and living together. So that was a serious relationship.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. He might not be ready for a relationship. He might be wanting to go just to fuck, and which is, if you want to fuck, that's great. That's good for you. But if you want a serious thing, this might not be the guy for you right
this
now.
This is, it's
you
tough.
Might have to slow play
What
this.
You're saying is absolutely correct, and I agree with completely, because it's tough to go into things with the, and just from the emails we've gotten from women over the years, it just seems like, it's tough for women. I can't speak for women, but I can say just from the point of view of this email, she's like, I'm emotionally thinking of our engagement. She's joking, but she does think of like, what could this be? Where could we go?
Yeah.
And he's not thinking that way.
No.
He's thinking, when I see a girl at work, I want to fuck that girl at work.
I want to fuck so many girls right now.
Yeah.
I want to fuck everything and everyone right now.
Especially out of a relationship.
Yeah.
And when you get in a relationship, you are the most confident person in the fucking world. I call it relationship confidence because you've had one girl telling you for however many months or years
you're great.
How great you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You ain't shit.
You ain't shit.
Because you get out to the real world and you're like, look at it. Well, that chick wanted to suck my dick all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't multiple?
You get out
it's
in
like,
the world,
no.
Yeah, the world, you look at your girl looks at you like, oh, she wants to blow me.
Of course.
She wants to blow me. Come on. Why
She's
wouldn't
looking
she want to blow
me? She looked in my general direction.
Oh,
come on.
Wow.
And it's like, so you have to think of the mindset where she, from this girl's perspective, she is like, I've emotionally thought of where we could go as someone together, plus with fucking.
Mm-hmm.
He has only thought of you with...
Naked.
Naked.
Yeah.
Never... It's not you naked after going apple picking.
Yeah, it's actually you naked actually after having a few drinks.
And leaving right away.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I know that sounds awful and unromantic, but we have to think of the most primal thing he's thinking of. So... Mm-hmm. Her first question is, does watching someone's Instagram stories mean anything other than he has too much time while taking a dump? It does and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the Instagram stories of the people I would fuck, but I'm also watching brother's Instagram.
It goes right after each other.
I know. So there's no... So, but also, there are people we watch more, but there's no way... We always... The Instagram stories thing is tough because I could literally throw on Instagram stories right now, put my phone down, and it could just run through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop. So I think a lot of times we put too much into seeing something.
Yeah.
Watching your Instagram stories is like, because now the whole, I wrote something for Betches. I don't know if we talked about it here afterwards, but I wrote a little, they were like, why do guys ghost and watch your stories forever? And it's like, we need to stop thinking so highly of watching someone's story.
I had a chick actually recently ghost me, and then she still watches my stories.
Yeah, because like, right, you know whatever. What? We all want to take our minds off of the hellscape that is life. So we all want to fucking watch
you're
stories.
You're just bored
and it's mindless.
Watching TV, but not just on your Instagram the whole time.
But then again, it's mindless, but it's not. Following you is not mindless.
No, that's a strategic plan by his part.
So I think the follow is more, and then watches out of someone that you've had one leg touch in a conversation with. Mm-hmm. That is to me a buying signal.
But you also, she said, they also like glance at each other and make small talk.
So, but that's to me, that's not. We all make that decision when we follow someone, whether when it's a chick, to be like, okay, how creepy is this?
Mm-hmm.
And is my boner bigger than the creepiness?
Because mm-hmm.
that's kind of the decision. You're like, this is, there's a lot of times I'll follow someone. I'll be like, this is creepy.
Do you ever get the, you follow?
But I want to fuck.
You follow somebody and they don't follow you back. You're like,
yeah.
God.
And then I unfollow because I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The dance is done. We call it tapping on the window.
Yeah. Did she follow him? That's the thing.
She definitely followed him.
Yeah, you probably did follow him. A good way for her to talk to him subliminally is through his story. If she sees something that they relate to,
that's the way to go.
Boom. Slide that DM.
Here's what she needs to do. She needs to rationalize. And also, you have to, the work thing plays into it. We talk a lot about this on the podcast. Guys will not look at your fairy tale ending beating out the work. We are going to go, I got to make fucking money so I can fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
So I look good to you to fuck me. I can take you out places. I can afford shit.
Or future use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you represent someone hot at work that he knows could ruin his work.
Mm-hmm.
So, this all has to be taken into account. So, if you think this guy's just fucking hot and I really want to get off and I like him and I want to explore that, respond to an Instagram story that he puts up and you go, hey, I've been there before, or just something that will get
conversation going.
And then what you need to do is any hangouts need to happen far away from work. So you need to say, you have to basically have your own field trip that you're saying could involve other people.
Mm-hmm.
So like so it's all steps. You respond to a Instagram story. He responds. You have a nice conversation. Hey, my friends and I, non-work related, are going to be at A.
Mm-hmm.
You and some friends should come. And that is taking you from work island to friend island. You want to get far away from work if this ever happens. But understand, he's not looking at your future engagement. I know she's joking, but I'm saying that's not even a joke he would make.
No, this guy's serious.
The joke he would make is, I hope I can fuck her without her getting me in trouble at work.
Yeah. Don't hang out with any friends from work, too, because that's going to be a sign. If he wants this in secret. You show up with a girl from work that you're really good friends with, he could be like, oh, fuck, well, she might tell somebody.
The best advice I'd ever gotten for hooking up was a friend of mine. He played, friend from a long time back. He played football and basketball at Ohio State.
He's pretty good.
That guy's a fucking athlete.
Yeah.
That also is a guy who could probably laid some pipe in his day.
I would assume
and
so.
And his advice was always,
at least 6'6".
You never cross the circles. So when you're hooking up, hook up with whoever you want, but don't cross circles. Don't have, if there's any, you know, so if you work people,
mm-hmm.
go hang out with friend people. So this guy is going to try, anytime you cross the circles, he's going to stay away. You have to think of him like a squirrel. You have to really reel him in and not get no sudden movements.
Yeah.
No work friends. Keep it.
Yeah. Don't scare the deer.
Okay, before we get to this next email, let me talk about we are sponsor people. An old sponsor, a new sponsor, a fun sponsor, a sponsor we love, MeUndies. I always thought MeUndies was that really cool underwear brand with the fun, crazy prints, which, listen, I always say, have fun, crazy underwear. I got the banana ones. I took my pants off in front of a chick, and she was like,
loved it.
Immediate laugh. And you don't usually want...
You don't have the best time to get a laugh.
But listen, it is a good time because it adds levity and fun to the hookup.
This is airing 9/18, and I got an email. They got some fancy Star Wars prints out there.
Fancy Ooh. Star Wars prints, okay. It's, listen, and they're not just great prints. Comfortability. It is. I talk about feathering your nuts.
I got a pair. They're nice.
They're nice. Unbelievable. It is like I'm getting compliments over DM all day long.
Mm-hmm. I don't even feel like I'm wearing underwear.
No, it feels like I'm wearing a bed of feathers.
Thank you.
My balls have never been happier
ever in my life. And listen, I love MeUndies because here's the thing: you don't think of buying underwear. You don't think I need new underwear. And you know what? Everyone's looking at you. If someone sees your underwear, they're judging. Mm-hmm. They're judging. So they make it from this magical fabric called Micro Modal. It is great, 3 times softer than normal cotton. I couldn't believe how soft these things were. It's the exact fabric you're going to want down there. Ladies, keep your underwear game on point. Go to MeUndies.com and sign up for a brand new monthly membership to make sure your skeevies are always fresh and matching from your bralette to your panties, and they even make matching socks. No more mixing and matchings from your top drawer. We can tell if you're wearing some raggedy thong you won on the bachelorette party 2 years ago. Stop recycling old underwear. This is what I like about the monthly service. Is it keeps refreshing your drawer. You get the new one, you throw out the old one. This is how you get into, like, some of my underwear that I used to have, I was like, what am I still doing in these?
Got holes in them?
Throw out the non-MeUndies. You're going to keep the MeUndies.
Keep the MeUndies. MeUndies will show a guy that you're beautiful and have your shit together with fresh, new, sexy undies. Try the Lace Back Hipster. I love these ones. It's like a cut that lets... The bottom of the tush hangs out. It's really, it's sexy. I love a boy short on a girl. I love the different cuts.
I tell you, boy shorts, nothing sexier than a girl in boy shorts.
Nothing. And these are fun. And you know what girls underrate? We love the relaxed look.
Mm-hmm.
We like, oh, you're walking around in boy shorts. Oh, this is hot.
Oh, God.
MeUndies has 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love these underwears. But if you're not into it or he's not into it, just send them back for a full refund. Okay? So listen, MeUndies just launched a brand new membership. You can level up your top drawer with new undies each month. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes. And you can switch styles or skip any month you want. Ladies, sign up to be a MeUndies member so you never have to worry about having a fresh new pair when you finally get your match. Put your best MeUndies forward. Listen, to get 15% off, here's your free money. This is your free money from Papa JT. 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies.com/JTrain. That's MeUndies.com/JTrain. Let me repeat. MeUndies.com/JTrain. And listen, people. You support MeUndies because you love this show and you need new underwear. Those are 3 things that we can all put together and become a family. Every time you put on your underwear, you can think of me, Papa JT, the Sultan of Swipes, the Prince of Promos. Think of me when you put it on your underwear. MeUndies.com/JTrain, 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 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies, put your best undies forward. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Hey, JTrain and Classic Shelbs. I'm a relatively new listener, but I'm definitely a devoted fan now. Jared, you're one of the hardest working comedians, and you keep me entertained throughout the week. Oh, my God, feathered. Keep doing all you do. I appreciate your real guy perspective on navigating through this weird world of dating. I'm a 33-year-old female who's relatively new to Atlanta. I've taken myself off the apps, but before then, I started talking with a guy for about a month before finally deciding to meet up for drinks. I was very upfront about just wanting to be friends, as I'm not looking for anything serious right now. He found that refreshing, she puts in quotes. And we had a very long and fun night that ended with a hookup. P.S. All women need to start putting a finger in the guy's butt during a blowjob if they want to drive them crazy. I'm with her. So the next day.
I agree too.
See?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
There we go. The next day we watched TV and he took me home. We had discussed hanging out in the future as friends and left it at that. A couple of days passed and we hadn't talked but just watched each other's Snapchat stories. Then I suddenly realized that he's removed me from Snapchat. I sent a text asking if he recovered from our night with no answer, and no surprise there. I'm not particularly bothered by this, but more puzzled as to why. I find it weird and childish way to handle things. Is this a case of him coming and now he thinks more clearly? Thanks for the insight. What do we think about this? This is a... unsubscribe from Snapchat.
Well, first off, you're in Atlanta. Come see the Sweet Buddies on tour. We'll be down there.
There we go.
Hang out with us.
SweetBuddiesPod.com.
I'm a big fan of her. Finger in the butt blowjob. Love it. It helps.
No. Finger in the butt blowjob. Totally on board. My thing is with the way she played it. Do you have any issues with what went down?
It's hard to say, but he was just done. He kind of just got off, and he was like, I'm done. I mean, he didn't handle it right. Maybe he should have said it. Maybe he's not into it as much. But taking off Snapchat is kind of childish.
It's childish. I think the way he handled it was bad. I think here's my suggestion to her. And listen, this whole thing is a tight wire act. So, like... Mm-hmm. I understand, like, there's no right or wrong answer to this. I think sometimes women will try and be too cool. Like, I think...
We're hanging out. Yeah. I have a vagina, that's about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, doesn't this email sound like... You know, to me, it sounds like he might have been dating someone else and then kept you on Snapchat and then saw there was an opening for a girl who was like, yeah, we're just friends.
Yeah, I think the way you played it too much as friends was like, oh, she's just down to fuck. That's all she kind of is.
Which is totally cool. And kind of to go back to the email before this, where it's like, he will do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know... you know, a lot of the women that write in, and it, kind of the thing I've understood the most, there are girls that are here to be like, I'm here to fuck. I want to fuck too. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, but I also want you to, you know, kind of be my boyfriend. if a friend of mine didn't answer my text, I'd be like, oh, they're busy.
Yeah.
You know,
This guy's ghosting
for sure. But I'm saying, how does she play it differently? The Snapchat thing is childish. She's been ghosted. It sounds like he might have been seeing someone else at the time, and she was just an easier option for him to hook up. To me, when you come in being like, "Hey, I'm looking for just friends," mm-hmm. and then you fuck, and then you go, and then he goes, "All right, cool."
Yeah, you can't really get on him about this. I mean, he should have handled it better.
Yeah, but it's not like
you did throw it out there as friends. And maybe the sex wasn't that great.
You can
maybe that was it.
I don't even think it's about the sex. I think it's more. You give someone if you give a guy enough rope to hang himself, he will hang himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be cool and friendly and fuck on a date without saying these things. You can live in the land of mystery, and the land of mystery is going to give you more of a right to be like, hey. It's weird you fucking unfriended me on Snapchat after we hooked up.
Also, guys will know, like, if you fuck a girl the first date and, you know, 2 days go by where she doesn't you don't text each other, the guy's like, oh, okay, she's cool. She's down to fuck. If you text, like, the next day, like, oh, what's up? How you doing? You want to hang out again? You're like, oh, okay, this girl is crazy. Not crazy, but she wants more.
Yeah, I've been, like, thinking this out a lot, like, the first date fuck. Like, I think this girl would have been better... I think every girl would be better off first date hand job.
That's rough for the guy.
It sucks for guys, but like we got to find a center ground where guys are being good dates.
You know what though? I say no to that because if a hand job, you got to be in a place where we could do a hand job. And if you come to your place for a hand, I'd rather you kiss me outside and say, all right, good night. I'd rather that than go up there and expect to fuck.
And then you go do your own hand job.
Yeah, I do my own hand job. Yeah. Don't bring me up and give me a handjob, which I could do way better than
well,
you.
Well, this is kind of the tight wire of the whole dating thing, where it's like guys are on these dates from dating apps because it was very visceral for them. They were like, I see you, I want to fuck you. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds horrible, but I'm just giving you the perspective. And girls are going on these dates being like, I see you, I want to fuck you. I also think you don't look like such a bad guy. You won't murder me. You won't. You might take me on a date. You know. Like, there's like so many more layers that women are looking for, which they're more right about. Mm-hmm. We're looking at it from a perspective that's awful.
I want to fuck.
So I think, how do we get that I want to fuck out of us, and it, without fucking? And it's like, no one has to be inside of me unless, you know, they're going with the finger in the butt, which we all want to happen. Mm-hmm. It could be, but I'm saying, like, the whole inside of you versus outside of, you know what I mean? Like, we don't emotionally, when we fuck, we don't get as emotional. Girls are out here being like, hey, I want him to be a good person. I want to make sure I'm with the right guy.
White girls
so a hand job on the first day would be like, let me just get this juice out of you.
Okay.
I'm doing the hand job motion.
Know that I'm here to play.
I'm here to play.
I got my chips in. Yeah.
But I also
I'm not going
like,
all in yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also didn't like, you know, I also didn't have some stranger fucking me.
Yeah.
Like, but now your head is a little more level.
It's actually a good idea for the girl's point
That's
of view.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because she can also see the dick.
See the dick?
She's like, a lot of girls, like, they're ready to fuck and the guy's dick doesn't work
this
or
is what
it's
I'm
not
saying.
A good dick.
You can see what they're working with. I don't know.
It's test driving the car.
Yes. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Chris Scopo, @ChrisScopo on Twitter and Instagram. Let's do this. We got a dude email.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, yeah. A dude email.
I'm a freshman in college. I've been in college for a little more over a month now and in a situation and I don't know how to handle it. So we have dorms that are co-ed. They're apartment style, so everyone has their own room with a common area where we all gather. Anyways, I digress. So they haven't gotten to digress at English class yet. So I met this girl who lives on the same floor as I do. She's an 889. So we have a rating system here on the podcast. Face, body, personality, 889. She doesn't really know anyone else here, and neither do I. So we start having conversation, exchanging pleasantries while passing in the hallway. We have each other on Snap and talk on there occasionally. Here in the last week or so, we started hanging out with other people that live on our floor, like going to get food and the occasional going out and getting drinks, but never just the two of us. By doing this, I've learned she's been in a few relationships that never really went anywhere. The way they go is the guy usually ends up doing her wrong. I've never really had a real relationship, just the once in a while hookup. So I guess my question is, how do I tell her that I'm into her and want to take her out on a date and treat her right without messing up a friendship or making things awkward? I'm into her and can't tell if she feels the same. How do I go about this? Any advice would be much appreciated. Thanks for the years of entertainment and laughs. What do we think? I love this email. It's very innocent.
It's tricky because this is first month of college. Now, when I went to college, there was that couple who dated the first month.
Sure.
And they dated for a few years or whatever. Most times, though, you got to realize that she also wants to have fun.
Okay, yeah.
She wants to have fun. I don't know if she's, like, down to do a relationship. And also, you're going to want to have fun later. It's tough to get into that relationship and just...
Well, I hear what you're saying. And this guy needs a first time before he can have a last time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love where he's at right now because he's in college. He met a girl that he's into. He's like, this is my first month. I want to pursue this girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see where this could go. And she talks about what he needs to do is understand. He writes, I want to take her out and date and treat her right without messing up a friendship or making things awkward. You already are looking to do what. What 95% of men are not looking to do. So you're in a great, you sound like a great guy that every girl should want to get to know. My advice to you is that it's always going to get awkward. The friendship will always get ruined. I'm sorry to be cynical. It's going to be, when you get into the world of hooking up and dating, it's always awkward and it's always going to be tough. So understand from your perspective, I'm jealous of where he is. Freshman year of college, young love. He's into this
dream
girl
right now.
Yeah, he's got it all. But he's also so fucking nervous about messing this up. He's got a girl on the. He's got one on the line. He doesn't want to lose it. So I get it. My advice to him is, everything you said is correct. You send her a message that you say, "Hey, let's go and let's go get something to eat sometime."
Mm-hmm.
And next week, I have this test or this class, but I get done at 7. Would love for you to come meet up with me at this place in town.
Yeah. Well, there's also so many campus activities you could do because you're fresh. They're trying to get freshmen involved.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's go to fucking, I don't know, bingo night or whatever it is. Whatever they have there,
mm-hmm.
let's go me and you one night.
And what you need to do, and I say this on the podcast all the time, go invite her. And especially for these events, like he says, they're hanging out in groups. Keep hanging out in groups. Keep doing that. Keep saying what's up to her. Reach out to one of respond to her Snapchat stories. Show interest. Don't be afraid of showing interest. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of saying, "Hey, I want to go out with you. Do you want to go get dinner at this place?" And then see if she'll go. You might get turned down. It might not. It might ruin the friendship for a week, but it won't ruin it for a lifetime mm-hmm. because you genuinely like this person, and you'll figure it out. But it's just all going to feel awkward and tough.
If you show her you have confidence in going out, she'll like it more.
Yes.
She'll like it way more than you for 2 months passively hanging out with her and not asking her out.
You got to make a move, and don't be afraid that move is going to fail awfully.
Oh,
and all of us, I mean, looking back at my freshman year, I remember there was a Rush event that you needed a date to go to. And I couldn't, and I didn't know anyone at Penn State. I came from outside of, out of state. And I remember not going because I couldn't find someone to go with. Or I didn't even know who to ask. And I kept pushing it off, pushing it off. And I look back at that, and I'm like, you should have just asked anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to ask anybody to do anything. So just ask. Get yourself in. Dive into awkward because you're going to come out better at the other end. And, you know, everything you said sounds like you want to be nicer. You want to show her a good time. You don't want to be a bad. You don't even have to say that. Just show it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to go get dinner next week. You want to come? And hey, after dinner, maybe you guys say, hey, let's go back to the dorm. We'll go hang out in the common area. We'll go watch it. You want to watch a movie? I got these.
Perfect.
Or I got these cool YouTube videos I watch. I got, How Low Will You Go every Tuesday on Snapchat. So go. And what my advice to you is to do and to ask and to enjoy and to, figure. And you're going to figure it out. I can't tell you how it's going
to
work.
Just do it. Don't be afraid to not do it.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Chris Scopo @ChrisScopo on Twitter and Instagram. SweetBuddiesPod.com to find out all the dates of their tour/adventure. Let's do some news. We got some time for some news, Shelby?
We do.
Let's do it. There we go.
So this is some pretty pertinent news.
Pertinent. You got a lot of thesaurus words mm-hmm. today, Shelby.
You're very loquacious today.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Okay. Go on.
Drake is rumored to be dating an 18-year-old model.
I saw this and I was like, whoa. And she's an 18-year-old model.
She's been modeling runway for years now.
See, And I saw he rented out a whole restaurant, right?
I did see that.
What do you think of this?
I mean,
they met 2 years ago.
Oh, that's creepy.
This is like, remember when they used to have those like internet clocks of like Disney Channel stars? They probably still have them turn it when they turn 18.
Yeah. I remember Hillary Duff was born when I was a big fan
Olsen
of.
Olsen twins.
The Olsen twins. They had those clocks of when, and it's like, and it was like kind of this like, at the time it was like this joke. And now we're like, that's awful. This is like insane, you know? And it also, like, it was the clock kind of felt like it was for the people their age. But then you think about the internet and how vast it is.
Oh, no, it's for the 25, 26 year olds.
Yeah, it was for the older fucking creepy weirdos. But the thing I do, we have to stop thinking of celebrities as if they're us. I saw a tweet, somebody tweeted out, there's a difference between something being against the law and being weird. You know, this is dating an 18-year-old when you're Drake.
He is 31 for the record.
I can't imagine. I'm 33. I can't
imagine.
No, I
think
imagine.
He's 32. Maybe he's turning 32. I know he's a year older than me, so I hold that. Like, so, I'm better. I'm not as good as him because he's a year older than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll get your Drake fan next year. So,
every year I say that.
Yeah. Just a year away from Drake. So, I mean, whatever, 31 to 18, I don't know what they could connect on, but I do have this theory that you become... You start maturing the minute you get your first job.
Definitely.
So I think
career
like
career job.
What's that?
Like career job or like
career job. Yeah. The minute you start having to pay your own bills is when you start maturing.
Yeah, didn't you when I was playing sports, but like you see athletes who were like 22, 23, and you're like, these guys when I was younger, I'd be like, these guys are so fucking
They're adults.
But now I see Saquon, he's 21, he's 10 years younger than me, and I'm like, this guy's an adult and I'm not.
I looked at Mahomes.
He's 23.
Mahomes, the quarterback for Kansas City, you look at him and you're like, that's a baby.
Yeah. Look at his the way he talks. Sounds like a 12-year-old.
His voice is like kinda high. Like you don't know. So the idea, but they are dealing with paying bills. Mm-hmm. You know, they're paying their rent or mortgage.
They have
like
kids. Saquon has a kid.
So like to say that Saquon and I's maturity level is we're maybe in similar maturity level places, even though he's 21.
Yeah.
He's dealing with real shit that at 21 I never dealt with. So like this girl who's 18. She's a model, right?
She just graduated high school in June and is a model.
I gotta assume she's seen more. We all look at this like it's us.
First of all,
I'm not saying this is not weird. It's weird, but
she's been a model for a few years now, a runway model. She's done coke.
So that makes you an adult.
She makes you an adult. She's done coke.
I guess she passes the coke scale. Who are we to judge?
At 16, she probably does. Like, it helps you be skinny. Okay.
I mean, this is what happens in the world of non-judgment is that we become, if you're not allowed to judge, it has to be against the law. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we can sit here and judge Drake. Yeah, Drake, you're a fucking weirdo. You're dating an 18-year-old that you met when she was 16. Something's off. But...
You're Drake.
What's
the point of being Drake if you can't do this?
In the course of history, this has happened more times than we even want to admit.
Look at DiCaprio.
Is he dating?
DiCaprio like literally has an app on his phone where goes, ooh, someone's 18, is a model. Let's go. Let's get her.
You're in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you Google Seinfeld's history...
He was dating that girl who's like 17.
And now they're married with kids and no one says a word.
I think they're married.
Oh, they're not?
They broke up.
When she like turned legal pretty much.
I'm not like accusing Seinfeld of anything. I'm just saying like that story's weird too.
What Seinfeld did with his current wife is stole her from her fiance at a party.
So in the matters of love, like, and especially love and fame, like when Pete and Ariana Grande came out as married, people were like, whoa! Yeah, they're not fucking splitting rent with roommates.
Yeah. I talked to my friend about that. I go, they're engaged because like they're just loaded and they just want to have a party. Like if they get divorced, it's no big deal.
Well, that's very true. Their divorce pale, like whatever their divorce is, if it ever happens.
If you and I get married to someone else, getting divorced is a big deal.
We've buttoned the shirt up wrong. Yeah. We have to unbutton the whole fucking shirt. For Pete and Ariana, though, also, they can't go out in public. Ariana Grande can't go to Whole Foods.
Mm-mm.
She can't do anything. So when you're her and you meet someone that gets it a little bit, and Pete, we know Pete, you know him, right? He's a great guy, and like I could see why they would connect. And at that point, you're like, okay, let's lock ourselves away.
Yeah, Pete's a homebody too.
Yeah.
He loves staying home.
So it's like, like if I'm Ariana, I'm going, this guy can hang. Mm-hmm. We're into the same stuff. We're similar ages. Like, yeah, we've been together a month, but like, let's fucking lock this up. Yeah. It's over. So for Drake, he's probably, you know, he had to lock off a whole restaurant, right, to go on a date with this girl once the clock struck, you know, midnight for her being 18. But I mean, it's weird. I keep going back and forth because I'm like, yeah, Drake, you're fucking weird for doing this. But I also go, Drake lives a weird life.
Yeah.
So I don't know
what
that is.
We don't know their worlds. Like, we don't know a Drake world.
We have no idea how the rich and famous live.
No, not at all.
We have no connection, and that connection becomes less and less every day.
Yeah.
Because they keep making more, and we keep making less.
Literally, he shut down, I'm going to say, a five-star restaurant in wherever it was to take this girl out. We were lucky to get into a five-star restaurant. It's a big difference.
We would look at it and be like, okay, we'll get one app.
Yeah.
We'll split one app. We got another story?
We do.
Let's do one more. How much time we got? We got time? I love the music.
We're we can make this the last thing.
Okay.
So I know we all hate taking phone calls. Is that safe to say?
If someone calls me, they better be calling me from their own casket to let me know they're dead.
Scopo, thoughts?
Yeah, don't ever fucking call me. Unless it's my mom or dad who can't figure out a text message, then that's fine.
My parents are texting, but then when they want to talk, they'll go, call me.
Yeah.
And that never sounds like it's just a relaxed call.
My dad does that. Yeah. He just goes, call.
Call, yeah. And then you're like, okay, you might have figured out text, but you haven't figured out the gravity of a call text.
Well, by next year, 2019, nearly half of all calls you receive will be scam calls.
Really? Well, that's happening a lot now.
It's happening to me now.
Scam likely is like the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, last year.
Didn't we all, like, 3 years ago, put our, like, wasn't there this, like, big thing where it's like, call into this number or text this number to make sure you're on the list to not get.
Yeah, that was a bullshit thing, I think.
That was a, and it's like, we all believe
you
this.
You just got on the list.
Yeah, that put you on the list to get calls. List. And it's like, we all fucking hear these half truths and go with it. It's like, how are we just fooled every fucking time?
Do you remember, though, like 10 years ago, with cell phones, like we first started getting cell phones, and you get a call from a random number, you'd be excited, like, oh my God, who the fuck is this right now? This is exciting.
This girl from the subway who looked at me for half a second, what's the fuck?
Now I get a random call, I go, who the fuck wants to call me?
Who would do this to me? So that's what's going on?
It rose 3.7% last year to 29%, and it's expected to rise to 44% next
year. All it does is make you feel like an idiot. I got a call, that new scam where it's like, we figured out your tax bill. Did you get that tax one?
No.
So they'll call you and be like, hey, your taxes were fucked up last year. We have a bill that you have to pay for like $8,000. It's always like a random $8,732, and if you don't pay it, there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Yeah.
And I woke up to that call on like a Monday morning, and I was like hungover, and I was like sweating. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to jail. This fucking accountant I'm working with is awful. And then I call the accountant. I'm like, what's going on? He's just like, he you could hear him on the other line just being like, dude. The government would never call you to tell you what's wrong with you, you idiot.
Relate that. You get like pop-up ads sort of on your phone. Not a lot, but you can just, close that tab if you're on the internet, Have you ever gotten the one where it suddenly opens and this is a crazy message? It says, like, a site you have visited, something around it has like child pornography. This is the FBI.
Awful.
I got that on my computer.
Why are we doing this to each
but
other?
Here's the thing.
I got it on my computer one time, and then I called an FBI office.
No, but here.
You really? You were like, I just want to let you know.
I was like, is this real? Is this real? He's like, no, it's a virus.
The thing that it says is like, if you pay this amount, and it's like $500, like some. This will go away, but it's not the type of thing that if you swipe
it
away,
a fake blackmail.
It is, and if if like you double click the thing, swipe away the Safari, go back, it's still there. And unless you like turn off your phone,
it's a sticky blackmail.
And like as like younger people, we kind of like know if they get the scam, how to get around it. But I know a guy in his early 30s.
Sure,
it's like a couple years ago. I was working with him, and this same like scam thing I had gotten, and I'd like. What the fuck? This is not how this works.
Yeah.
Got rid of it. I got to like work like in the morning. He was like kind of flustered and just like, I was like, hey, what's going on? And he was like typing something into his phone and holding. And he was like, I just like, I got this. And it says that. And I don't look at that. And it got it. He had gone out and bought one of those Visa prepaid $500 card and was going to enter the thing. And I was like, no, give me your fucking phone. Don't.
Well, this is kind of a result. These scam, everything's cause and effect. So like these scammers are playing off of, and I know this sounds crazy, they're playing off of the fear we have of being internet, you know, like having the internet come against us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing off. They're the everyone knows that a tweet could take you down.
Yeah.
So these scammers are like, oh, so people are afraid of a tweet taking them down. I'll accuse them of child pedophilia that will ruin their life. And we know that, this is all based on us policing ourselves.
It's worked because they keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, catcalling exists because it helped one dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Penis pictures exist because one dude, it might have helped them one time. So, like, this guy. But I'm saying, like, this is all a result of internet, like the people with torches from the internet coming to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if that exists, so does the scam.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's scary times. It's weird times that you know, like I talked about on Coffee with J Train, the Norm MacDonald thing. And it's like Norm MacDonald went on a press tour last week for his new show and pissed off every single person in the entire world. Like, literally, there's an article that I got to read you the first line of this article. It's so fucking funny because the woman who wrote it is so angry.
It's Norm, though.
And this is the thing.
They don't get it.
Norm MacDonald is outside of this world. He speaks, and then, like, the internet mob, he doesn't even, like, answer to. Yeah. So her opening line of this article was so fucking funny. So she's writing about like how Norm has a new show on Netflix and you can watch it now. And this is the opening. I honestly can't believe we're talking about Norm MacDonald. This is how she opens her like review. We've been talking about him a lot lately in the wake of a baffling, repeatedly offensive press tour that has managed to slight the women stepping forward in the Me Too movement, Hannah Gadsby, the trans community, people forced to have non-consensual sex, people who have consensual sex, and Lena Dunham at the same time staunchly defending Louis C.K. and Roseanne. Look at the amount of things that he... And it's like, listen, all of those subjects are hot button subjects. Lena Dunham among them.
Lena Dunham is hilarious.
But over the course of one press tour, Norm MacDonald had so little thought of the internet coming after him that he was like, oh, you want to talk about Hannah Gadsby?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah,
you want to talk about Lena Dunham? Fine.
Yeah.
Ah, Roseanne, good friend. Yeah. You know, like, has no... And it's like, to her, in the world we live in now, this is shocking.
Yeah.
That he would even delve into such subjects with an opinion that didn't match the internet opinion. And it's like, nowadays, and with this scam, to bring it back to this scam, nowadays, we're sitting there being like, what's the thing that's going to take us the fuck down? And it's like, this guy that you worked with has never thought of child pornography in his whole entire fucking life. And then he gets one message about it and he's like,
oh my God.
Okay, get the prepaid card. Yeah. I can't be taken. This can't be on Vulture tomorrow. And it's like, I kind of envy Norm's.
He doesn't give a fuck.
His DGAF.
I don't think he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't know about it.
I don't think he knows.
He knows about it.
Like, but also, Norm MacDonald, if you read his jokes to somebody, you'd be like, they would be like, well, that's a horrible thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why he's Norm MacDonald. He tells it in a way that, and that sounds like bullshit. Like, that sounds like what an asshole says. But, like, go listen to Norm MacDonald's last album where he talks about fighting cancer. Have you guys ever seen that bit? Defeated Cancer. It's a whole bit about how people talk about how they fought cancer. Mm-hmm. If you repeated this to someone who's dealt with cancer in their life, they go, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hear him do it on stage, you're going, he's a genius. This is unbelievable. So,
you have to see, if you want to get offended, go YouTube old Norm clips on like Conan and Letterman.
No, there's one that someone sent me recently. It was the
Conan one? Oh, The View?
When he goes on The View, and this just shows you the bullshit that's out there. He goes on The View, and it's like during... I guess Bush just became president or they were like doing the recount. It was like that whole era. And they come on, he comes on, they go, what do you think of this new president? And you could tell The View people are like, talk shit about Bush.
Yeah, they hate him.
And he goes, well, at least he's not a murderer. And then he's like, they're like, what? And he goes, you got to go watch it. And he goes, yeah, I mean, we just had a murderer. And then they're like backing away from it so hard because they're we don't want to accuse anybody. But they literally just set him up to talk shit about the current president. And they're like, and then the one that they agree
they
with. They're like,
whoa. No, you can't
say that. And then
he
brings up Cosby and he goes, well, Cosby's never had an accuser. Like he brings up the Cosby accusations. This is like in the 90s. Like, you got to go look. Search Norm Macdonald, The View.
He's the funniest guy.
And it's like, you watch that, and then you go, oh, this guy isn't made for this era. Like, and his show is pretty funny. I watched it.
Davis Bay last night. It was funny.
So, listen, Chris Scobo, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
that's the end of the news.
Oh, that's the end of the news. Sorry. Thank you, Shelby. At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Great producer.
Go just follow. Right, he's got the news. The crowd loves him. The in-house studio. Yeah, they love him. They love him. Mm-hmm. Chris Scopo, thank you for coming on.
Buddy, thanks for having me.
At Chris Scopo on Twitter and Instagram. SweetBuddiesPod.com to see all the tour dates. So go. They're coming to the South. Atlanta Red Clay Festival, Asheville, Virginia, Helium. They're coming up the Eastern Seaboard. So go check them out. I'm Jared Fried. Every Tuesday and Friday, keep spreading the word. Keep telling your friends. We'll be back next episode. Boom.